This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Back week, the second week in a row that we're back. We're kind of wondering, like, should we record today? And then
we went from doing no show to a 20-minute non-live show to holy crap, there's a lot of stuff going on to like a full show.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Jeff Kent makes the Hall of Fame. The Giants add coaches. And there's this conversation now, which we'll talk about kind of near the end, about if the Giants aren't going to really sign anybody to huge money, do they dangle one Bryce Eldridge? And I know Buster answered that question today, but I think it's still worth discussion. But let's start with the first part of the news, which is Jeff Kent makes the Hall of Fame thanks to the, what is it called, the Historical Election Committee?
Sure. Yeah, I don't, I've seen like two or three different things. So, yeah, I don't even know what it is. But either way, they got a lot of power with only 16 votes.
And you know what's funny is, obviously, I saw his name on the ballot. I just never thought that he would be the guy that they would pick. Not that he's not deserving, because he's one of the greatest hitting second basemen of all time.
Yeah.
And the perfect supplemental player, or the perfect backup, or I guess he hit in front of Barry for a lot of the time as well, to Barry. And you know, I don't know if he necessarily has the rosiest relationship with the Giants fans, especially because he left the Giants to go play for the Dodgers. But still, he had his best seasons while in the orange and black. He kind of became a star after leaving Cleveland. And he's one of the guys in, there's a little bit of a bittersweetness because we would have rather seen Barry make it other than Jeff, but Jeff making it is a really nice story too. And I was following his comments because, again, like I'm not really sure what he feels about the Giants fan base. Like does he even come around? I don't remember seeing him often. But he's got to go in a Giants jersey, right? Those are the best years of his career.
That's what he said. He actually said, I want to go into the Hall of Fame as a Giant. That's it. His 6 years in San Francisco, without those, he's not a Hall of Famer.
So the relationship that I keep coming back to with the Giants fan base, do you think if it wasn't so acrimonious with Bonds, that we would think differently about him a little bit? Not that we don't appreciate him, because definitely appreciate him, but there are other players who had lesser careers than Jeff Kent who we kind of wrap our arms around.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I was really thinking about that one today. I'm like, why do Giants fans not look at Jeff Kent as one of like the great Giants? Mm-hmm. And really, honestly, the only thing I can come up with was during his playing career. Yeah, the majority of time was spent as a Giant. I think he had 900 games as a Giant. As a matter of fact, I think he had exactly 900 games as a Giant and 498 or something like that as the next team behind that, which was the Mets. So you're talking about a jump of like 400 games difference. But why don't Giants fans think of him in the same breath as other Giants greats like Will Clark, who, you know, did about the same amount of time or so? And I think any time a Giants player goes directly from San Francisco to Los Angeles, there's a little bit of a slight felt.
Brett Butler.
I mean, Jason Schmidt. Okay. A lot of these guys.
What about Brian Wilson, though?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. I think there's a little bit. I mean, again, Brian Wilson didn't really have much of a career in LA. Yeah. But Jeff Kent had success. Brett Butler had success. So those two guys who have go on to LA and have success, it's a bit of a problem. I feel like it's a little bit of a sullied a little bit. But I don't know. That's the only thing I can really come up with. Again, you I guess for me as a Giants fan, kind of the sweet spot is like 8 years, you know, 5 years, mm-hmm. 6 years is good. 7 years is better. 8 years is kind of that sweet spot for me. I don't know why. Psychologically, it's just is what it is. But I think that has a little bit to do with it. The fact that he goes right on to LA, you know, has the same success there, and it just kind of tapers off after a few years. But, you know, has himself a good time in LA, and Giants fans are like, well, yeah, we don't like that.
Yeah, it's just that there's not that cuddliness when you think of Jeff Kent. And I do wonder how much it has to do with the way that the Bay Area appreciates Bonds, because they know that they didn't, we know that they didn't really get along. But Jeff, so they asked Jeff about Barry not getting in, and I was like, okay, Jeff, you have the opportunity here. You have the opportunity to make things good. We can love you again, Jeff. And Barry's Instagram did a nice post about Jeff, and well, it's like congratulations to Jeff on making the Hall of Fame. And I think it was may have been John Shea, one of the beat writers, asked Jeff about what he thinks about Barry not making it, and he was just like, you know, it wasn't up to me. You know, Barry and
I had nothing to do with it.
Barry and I were great for each other, and maybe the thing that was holding him back was because he was so out publicly against steroids and very much for the increased drug testing when all of this stuff happened, right?
Yes.
And so if you kind of the meaning behind the meaning in this small competitiveness between Barry and Jeff is, I was clean and I won MVP. He was not clean. And so there was always that between them. And I thought it was a good opportunity for him to go, you know what? Water under the bridge, fantastic time together. I was not who I was going to be without him. And I feel like maybe I helped him. But he didn't do it that way. He did it like, you know, I didn't have a vote. I not that I really care that much. And I was like, okay, Jeff, this is why the Bay Area doesn't love you.
Yeah, right. I mean, he just pretty much kind of brushed it off and was like, yeah, I don't have a vote. Yeah, I don't. I mean, just say it, you know, say it one way or the other. It's, you know, on the fence, wishy-washy. And I get it. You know, it's his big day. It's his big day. He got elected to the Hall of Fame. So
It should be about him. This is what the Bay Area also is wondering about is, you know, do you guys exchange Christmas cards? And Jeff basically told us, yeah, probably not.
He sends me Instagram posts.
Yeah, he did. It was a nice one. It's probably the most people have thought about Jeff Kent in a very long time. And it's awesome. True. I'm glad he's going in.
Other
as a
than
Giant.
Giants fans.
Right.
We talked about it earlier. And it's not that we don't think about him. Anytime you put together some of the greatest teams, there aren't any other second baseman I really think about, and or most people other than Jeff Kent. That's kind of the guy. Hey, we all love Tito Fuentes. We all love Robbie Thompson. Yep. But Jeff Kent's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he was at a different level with the bat, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
And, you know, now there was a thing I remember back in the day. It was like Ryan Sandberg Hall of Famer. And one of the things about Sandberg was he had such a high fielding percentage. And I remember, I've said this on the show before, I remember, I think it was Dwayne Kuiper said that Ryan Sandberg would have to dive for balls that Robbie Thompson could get on his feet. And not to say that Robbie Thompson was a Hall of Famer. Absolutely not. He just didn't. He wasn't healthy. He didn't have the hitting stats. But Jeff Kent as a second baseman as well, if you hit it to him, he was going to field it. And yeah. One of the things he did very well, which people are bringing up, and you remember, because Jeff Kent's kind of a big guy. He's a big second baseman. And he would hang in there on the double play. And, you know, in some cases, you know, take some tough slides there. And that was kind of his defense. And he even mentioned that in the article that I read, where he was just like, yeah, you know, I got a bad rap. And it seemed like the bad rap stayed with me even when I improved as a defender. So that's what he said. But congrats. It's going to be cool to see him. And then, you know, we got some other ones coming up too. It's like Buster, it's Bochy. Who else is Brian Sabian like up for some sort of thing?
You know, I think he might be, you know, you get the executives in there and all of that. So I think that might be. I don't really pay attention to too much of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it just doesn't mean as much as when we were little kids.
No, not really. I mean, the broadcasters for us, that's cool.
Oh, it's Kuiper. Yeah, Kuiper was the one. Maybe it wasn't Sabian. So, maybe it was Kuiper.
Yeah. Who could possibly Kuiper being up for it, that one's super fun for us because we're big, you know, we're big radio nuts. So
and just fun. Like listening to those guys. I just relish the time that I have with those guys because you never know, right? Like especially with Kruko and his health conditions, but that dude is still busting as much as he can. So just you know, you want to make sure you hear as much Kruk and Kipe as you can.
Now is Kruko up for it?
They're
also,
not. It's like I think it's only Kuiper.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the finalists right now. Kuiper. Is it Dan Schulman's up for? Wow. All right. A lot of these cool guys are up for it, man. Al Michaels.
How is Al Michaels not in?
Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, he's got to get in, right?
Well, I guess if this is specifically baseball, he's probably more well known for the NFL for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But wow. Al Michaels. He did some Giants games for like a short amount of time, I think, back in the day.
My bad. Actually, he is in. Al Michaels is in. Casas. This is the list. They put the list up first of people who have won it. But this year, let's see. Wow. Yeah, they're not giving. Why are they not giving first names? Could you give first names? Because they're saying Carrie. Well, is it Chip? Is it? I mean, which Carrie is it? There's a couple of them. Cohen, is that Dave Cohen? I think.
Yeah.
Who broadcast for the Mets, I believe. So yeah, they're not giving like full names.
Yeah, come on, whoever wrote that list, make it hard on the podcasters.
Yeah, oh, I found it. Okay, Joe Buck's up for it. Skip Carey. So it wasn't Chip. It's Skip. Gary Cohen. Dwayne Kuiper, John Rooney, Dan Schulman, John Sterling. So a lot of big names.
Yeah, those are some really big names.
Yeah, that's kind of.
And how many? I don't even know how many make it. So,
yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to do, including a requirement that at least one candidate be a foreign language broadcaster. So there's that.
Interesting. I'm surprised Donald Trump didn't make sure that one doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And then turn around and nominate himself. I sat in the booth once.
All right. So we also had some news that was like the bummer of all bummer news, which was like, I had no idea that Marco Luciano was even waived or left on waivers.
That was a total surprise. When you texted that to me, I was like, this can't be right. There's no way this is correct. I was up on a ladder. Here's how I found it. Yeah, I was up on a ladder and my watch buzzed. I looked at it. I'm recalking the inside of a window. And I've no, actually, I was on the outside at this point. I'm rushing, right? So caulking, I don't know if you, we're going to do a caulking there lesson here. When you're caulking with like GE Supreme caulk, then you've got to get it like between 40 degrees and 100 degrees. And so I missed my opportunity about a month ago to get this done. So I'm out there. It is now like 5 p.m. The sun is down. I'm looking at my watch. It's 41 degrees. So I'm really hurrying to get this done. I get the alert from you on my watch. I'm like, oh my God, I can't stop and check this out because this is like big news. Then I ran out of caulking and I had to drive to Ace, pick up more, come back. So that's how I found out. And I was shocked by the whole thing. I was like, this is our guy who we're desperately trying to find a spot for him, desperately trying to get the guy like 200 consecutive at bats in the major leagues just to see what he can do. And now we'll never know what he could do at Oracle.
Yes. And you know, you gave me visions of Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation on the ladder putting up the lights when you said that.
No, I was up there. I was jamming it into the cracks and I'm like, I got to get it in here. And then I ran out and I'm like, and it's 41 degrees. I'm like, I got to drive to Ace Hardware, pick up another. And you pay like $18 for the really good tube. And I only needed like enough for about 6 more inches. And that was it. So it was a waste.
Oh, gosh. So, the frustration, I think, is, and, you know, the hypotheticals and, you know, you can't go back in time and we're Monday morning quarterbacking this whole thing. But, you know, Marco Luciano was one of like the top 3 or 4 prospects in the game at some point in his career. And we were salivating at the idea of when this guy was coming up. We can't wait for this guy to come up. Let's not trade him. We need him. He's going to be the man. And then we had to go through the whole Farhan thing of like, this dude is, he's the opening day shortstop. Like we're going with him. And then like the next week he's not. And he's back down again. And you're just like, what the F is going on here? Like nobody treats
your Nick Ahmed.
Nobody treats their top prospect this way. Why are we doing it this way? And then, and then by the time that Buster comes, like, you know, Luciano's already like 23. He's been with the organization for 5 years or 6 years. And then it was just like, oh, he's just been on waivers in the Pittsburgh Pirates who were like, hey, we picked up Joey Bart from them. Maybe we got something. Like maybe they just can't handle these guys. And then they picked up Luciano. So that was such a bummer.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of it yet. Because yeah, Bart goes over there, has a decent, he has a 2.2 war year, his first year in Pittsburgh. Then last year it was like 0.5, so it wasn't, you know, that big of a deal. He was injured quite a bit, didn't play a whole lot. So who knows still what's going to be with him. Brian Reynolds, though?
Yes.
Traded off to Pittsburgh, and he's had a fairly nice career, fallen off the last few years. But yeah, I don't know what to expect from Luciano.
We could still use Brian Reynolds, by the way.
We still could, absolutely. But if you look at Luciano, he's got to be your DH, right?
Yeah.
And they're also they also just gave a contract offer to Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, but again, it's not you pick up Luciano off of waivers. There's not, if you've got a roster spot on your 40 man, what's the harm? I mean, there's a good chance too that Luciano doesn't even make it out of spring training and ends up on the waiver wire and get traded to another team.
And since we are the Bay Area sports podcast here, I will, not that this means anything to you, but I will compare it to the Warriors. They had the number 2 draft pick in, I think it was 2020 or 2021. And this is a team that was, you know, had come off of a few championships and they sucked this 1 year. Steph Curry got hurt and they had this number 2 draft pick. It was during COVID, so it wasn't the same kind of draft. And they draft this this kid who was a freshman at Memphis playing for Penny Hardaway. And his name is James Wiseman. And basically, by the time, you know, 2-3 years down the line, this number 1 pick turned into trading for Gary Payton II, who they'd already had, but he had signed somewhere else. And so he was like the future. And then 2 years later, he was already the past. And then he got hurt. And he had signed with Indiana. So Indiana went to the finals last year. He gets hurt this at the end of last year or sometime last year and doesn't even make the team this year, cut out of the NBA. And it's like, this dude is like, you know, it's only drafted like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Like, what's going on? He was like 19 or 20 when he was drafted. And as this is what the Luciano thing reminds me of, it's like, is it the athlete's fault or is it the process of the team in building him through the system? Like, I don't think we know 100%, but, you know, I don't imagine that the Luciano crew was very happy with the way that Farhan handled him there at the end. But at the, then if you're Farhan, you're like, we got to figure out if this guy's anything at some point, like, let's test him. And then he could not play major league shortstop, which I think we saw literally from like the first ground ball that was hit to him.
Yeah. I mean, and like the first or second game he played in, he had a couple of errors and one that lost him the game. I mean, we thought, okay, well, this is not going to be, he's not Omar Vizquel. He's not even like 1/8 of Omar Vizquel.
You know what probably signed his fate was when they brought in Chapman, because the idea was always, and this was Keith Law going back to the early Luciano days, where he was like, you know what? Luciano is not a great shortstop now, and he's only going to get bigger. He's a third baseman. And so then when they signed Chapman, then you're like, okay, well, he's the third baseman, so you can't play Luciano at third. And then they tried to move him to second, they tried to move him in the outfield, and he just became less valuable by not being a shortstop or a third baseman. And so,
well, and you also had a, you know, potential Gold Glover in Casey Schmidt, who was playing third in the minors as well. So it's like, you can't take reps away from Schmidt to give him to Luciano. And I mean, there's a reason Farhan's gone, right? I mean, there's multiple reasons why Farhan's gone. It's development. We saw a lot of these guys come in. We saw Kyle Harrison. We saw Luciano. We saw Hunter Bishop. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And these guys who were, you know, touted as high prospects and not necessarily, you know, handpicked by Farhan, but through his system and just kind of faltered throughout at each level and just never really, really panned out. I mean, you know, granted, Hunter Bishop had a lot of injury issues, but still, it kind of shows you, where was the development? Where were the, you know, the gold stars that came through the system that popped up and did what they're supposed to do? Eventually, Elliot Ramos, right? And I mean, Patrick Bailey, but still lots of questions with the bat, but he's a great defensive catcher. We haven't had the complete package really come through through that farm system through Farhan's years. So that's kind of where we're hoping. And Buster Posey made a lot of trades at the trade deadline, got a lot of youth in, had a draft under his belt, another offseason of maybe moving more parts and getting more into the farm system. So I'm excited to see what we can do. And Luciano is just going to be always one of those reminders of what could have been. But we don't know. Again, we don't know. We could never speak his name again because he just kind of disappears.
Yeah.
We'll obviously be keeping an eye on him in spring training.
Yeah.
And then wherever he is next season in the minors or in the majors on the major league roster. And he doesn't have to be on the major league roster. He does have, although actually, you know what? He's out of options, right? So I think that's why they pretty much had to waive him. Mm-hmm. So he's either going to be waived again or traded or on the major league roster to start the season.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about the new coaches that they hired. Ron Washington.
The Wash, yes.
Former Angels and Rangers manager. He's returning, and he's going to help out with the infield. And it's just, you know, it's never a bad thing when you have Ron Washington on your coaching staff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really cool. I didn't even think about it because you think of him as a manager and you're like, oh, why, you know, would he want to come back as a bench coach? So I didn't even think about it. But, you know, we've been talking about Vitello and how he needs to pump up his staff with, you know, really savvy veterans of coaching staff. And we bring in another one. Like, this guy's legitimately someone, you know, if Vitello gets kicked out of the game, Ron Washington is probably the manager, right?
I would think so.
Or Ron Washington. Jace, I guess. Jace could be as well.
Yeah, Jace Tingler. I mean, you've got a lot of options, and you know, you can collaborate on it too. And I don't know if you remember, Ron Washington had to step down in Los Angeles with the Angels because he, you know, heart issues.
Right.
Had to step away from the game. But also, I don't know if you remember, but back when we were in the process of going to hire Bob Melvin, but before that, we kind of had a wish list. My wish list, I had Ron Washington on there. I thought, you know, guy would make a great manager.
Yeah.
He would shore up the defense for us, help in those situations. And so, yeah, it's kind of best of both worlds now because he can take the time he needs. If he, you know, feels he needs a little bit of time off because of the heart issues, then he can take a break and doesn't have to, you know, have the rigors of managing day in and day out. So I think it's awesome, man. I think it's really going to help guys like Casey Schmidt. It's going to help guys like Adames. Absolutely going to help guys like Eldridge and Devers at first base. So, yeah, pretty exciting.
They also added Jesse Chavez, who I didn't even know was retired.
Yeah, I thought he was going to play till he was about 90.
I was just like, oh, they're signing Chavez to be like the back end of like their bullpen. Like, okay, that makes sense.
A lot of it. I mean, can you do that? Maybe he could be a player coach, right? If we need a seventh inning guy, just say, hey, Chavez, pop out there. You got a uniform on.
Yeah, totally. And then, so we have a Dodgers fan. I think this person's a Dodgers fan. Saying legendary Dodger Jeff Kent finally going to Cooperstown. By the way, pocket rude boy, you will like this because I am bringing on my buddy Draven for our Giants Dodgers, you know, every other month or so podcast on Tuesday evening. And I'm going to ask him about Jeff Kent. Like, what do you think about, you know, do you consider Jeff Kent a Dodger? He probably doesn't, because he considers him a Giant and he hates the Giants. And so I want to ask him about Jeff, but he was saying, you know, we were talking offline cause I was just talking to him about doing the show. And he's like, I'm a little worried about Mookie and Freddie because they're getting up there and Mookie didn't have a great year. And the Dodgers are on the hook for six more years of Mookie, which is,
yeah. That's what we talked about, I think, in the offseason last year. We're like, you know what? They signed Shohei to all these years, but all their guys are just getting older, man. You know? So how long are you going to stick around? But their pockets are deep. they can do whatever they want and they can go out and sign guys. But now they're trying to move Teoscar possibly. So, you know, lots of moving parts. It's an embarrassment of riches. So that's kind of what that situation is. And they can probably dupe other teams into making a Mookie Betts type of trade and get a guy like that in his prime.
Yeah, if they want.
Give up, you know, three or four top prospects.
I guarantee
they have top prospects.
Put the guy back in right field and he's going to be better. Play shortstop.
Mookie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him play shortstop is just a different level of, like, you know, of things that he's got to worry about and on his body. And I would just put him back in right field and see if you can find like a defensive player and just bat that dude ninth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of shortstops out there. They could
Nick Ahmed, just Nick Ahmed.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to trade for Seager, right?
Oh yeah, there you go. Could Seager even play shortstop these days? Like
he's had so many injuries in the last couple of years. I don't know. He's a guy you wanted to send out there with lots of duct tape and just say, you know, I hope they hit the ball right at you.
Yeah, Pocket Rude Boy says nothing but love. Giants on the upswing now. Yeah, we have a segment called Bitter Giants Fans because we want Dodgers fans to come comment on our stuff when we talk, you know, when we talk tongue in cheek or negatively about the Dodgers because we're just so bitter about success.
No, the rivalry is the best for me, obviously best in all of sports. You can have your Yankees, Red Sox or whatever, but the Giants Dodgers just, you know, you know why? It's because it's the West Coast.
Yeah.
And if we want to watch Yankees Dodgers or Yankees Red Sox, we don't have to tune in at 4 p.m.
Exactly.
You know, we get 7 p.m.
Yeah. So. And look, if the Dodgers win the three-peat, there might be a different conversation that we have on this podcast about maybe quitting baseball altogether. But
I'm going to write a letter to the commissioner.
So the Giants, you know, Washington Chavez, I think it would be inauthentic of us to go like coaches, like we know exactly how that's going to turn, like Washington's a great name and bring in a former manager who knows about Chavez. I'm sure, you know, you just bring in a guy who's very has played so recently and is interested in coaching and seems like you know, that could be a help. But the Giants have so many coaches, so we'll see how that works out. And you know, it's just, someone had said, sent me a meme. I think I sent it to you guys where it's that Drake meme, but it has Buster Posey on it. And it's like Giants signing free agents. And it's like one face. And then it's like Giants signing coaches. And it's like the other face. Cause that's what they're doing right now. They're just signing coaches. They're building up that coaching staff.
But the exciting part is for us, I think this is Buster's first coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, okay, Let's see what the champ can do. The three-time champ. Let's see what kind of coaching staff him and the guys can put together. This is not leftover from anybody else. And again, I always said, give him a couple years. Buster Posey's first year, full first year as head of baseball operations, isn't going to be the stamp on what this team is. He needs some time. Work on the farm system. Work on the coaching staffs. Work on philosophy up and down, you know, throughout the entire organization, from the San Francisco Giants to the Arizona Fall League A team. So that's kind of what I want to see over the next couple of years.
Yeah, the farm system can only go up.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. It started in July, though. I mean, it really took a boost in July.
So. Yeah, they made some trades and they got some guys who are possibly interesting for us this year. But okay, let's end the show with the discussion about the winter meetings. And the winter meetings is where last year Buster, you know, kind of puffed out his chest a little bit.
Yeah.
And this year it seems like it's a little bit different. Now we've heard from Greg Johnson about whether or not they're going to go after, you know, some big time pitchers, and the Andy Baggerly article about how they're probably not on Imai because it's just they're just not going to put that much money in a starter, which made me wonder. Now we're going back to the Dodgers. And the reason why I like talking about the Dodgers is because obviously the success aspect of what they do, as much as I hate them, they do give you a nice blueprint of what works today in baseball. Right. And one of the things that works is depth, especially in the pitching staff. And so if, like, let's say, I don't know how much Imai is going to cost per year. Let's just say $30 million a year. I don't know if that's the number, but let's say $30 million.
It very well could be. Yeah.
So if you take his $30 million and you split it three or four ways and try and bring four arms in instead of just one, what you're doing is what something that you said a couple years ago, which was really smart, which is you don't have a five-man rotation anymore. It's like an eight or a nine-man rotation because of how the injuries work. Yeah. What the Giants had last year when they were going strong was good starting pitching until that starting pitching went awry and the injuries piled up. And then they had no starting pitching except for Logan Webb because he's just the man. So I wonder if the idea is, look, we can throw all this money at one guy, and that one guy, maybe he makes 30 starts, maybe he doesn't, or we throw the money at four or five guys and see if we can put together this staff to where we're not having to bring up, Carson Wisenhunt to make five starts and he's not ready, but we needed him because we knew that he could go four innings for us. So I wonder if that's the strategy. Not saying that that's a great strategy, because why can't you get both? This is, there's no salary cap, but yeah, sure. By the way that they're doing this, I wonder if that's the way. Who those three or four pitchers or five pitchers would be, I don't know, but I wonder if that's the thought.
If for $30 million a year, give me Kyle Tucker.
But yeah, there you go.
That being said, I think the problem is if you go for an Imai and then all of a sudden Robbie Ray's gone after this year, he's got 1 year left on his deal. Now you got to replace him. So if you start to replace him this year and you get, three starting pitchers this year, two starting pitchers this year, maybe, and a couple of minor league deals for some older guys and stick them in Sacramento, let them work some things out again. Organizational philosophy when it comes to pitching all the way down the line, you start to get them involved the next season. Maybe they're like, hey, I like what's going on here. My numbers went up. Things got better. There's now room for me on the major league roster. I want to take a hit there. I mean, most likely they're going to get a chance. If you sign a minor league deal as a pitcher and you're a veteran, this year with San Francisco Giants, I think there's a chance you're going to get into the rotation at some point for a couple of starts at least and can show what you got. I'm falling in line a little bit more with the not signing a Framber Valdez or an Imai to a large contract for 7 or 8 years. Just because I would rather spend that money on offense and then deal with pitching. Because again, you've got the X factor in the ballpark at Oracle. That also hurts your hitting a little bit. But if you've got guys who can put the ball in play and you've got guys who can hit with power on the road, you're going to do some damage. Pitching will hang in there, especially if you go and spend some of that money on the bullpen and you get a really nasty bullpen. If you can get through five innings and then you could turn it over to the bullpen, I think you're going to be, cruising right along. So it's the whole thing's really interesting of how you want to make up the team. That's the thing. There's in Monopoly, there's a bunch of different ways to win. It's what strategy do you want to start with and then stick with and go with it. You can't change your strategy halfway through because then you're screwed. So we're about to see here, I think, pretty soon what the Giants' strategy is going to be from the front office going forward for the next few years. And I think this offseason, this is where we're going to see it.
So did you see, this is a football thing, but mm-hmm. you saw Daniel Jones, he tore his Achilles, and Indianapolis is having a good season, and now they lost their QB1. And they called Philip Rivers, who is 44 years old and a grandfather.
Yes. Hey, I'm 52 and I'm not a grandfather, thankfully. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm older than Philip and I am also not a grandfather. And I just thought, I was like, wow, like this man hasn't played football in a little while.
It's been a few years.
And just, I can't imagine, like, that's a tough position, but maybe, you know, maybe he's just going to get rid of the ball as soon as humanly possible so he doesn't get hit. But it gave me the thought, because we had Verlander last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't spectacular, but he was solid.
Yep.
There's the thought of bringing in Max Scherzer. We would have two old guys, you know, in the starting rotation. Not that Verlander is coming back, but just the idea that if he did and you had Scherzer, you'd have two old guys.
Yeah.
You know who was in the historical, the Hall of Fame election and didn't get the 5 votes needed to be on the ballot next year? Roger Clemens.
Yeah, there you go.
Bring back the Rocket. Add him to that thing. Just give him all the juice that he would possibly need. Like, you know,
just don't test him.
Well, maybe we can test him, but we have some pretty smart chemists out here who could probably figure out how to get him. And then he plays for 1 year, and then he restarts his Hall of Fame thing again. Maybe get Barry and AB just so he can restart his Hall of Fame thing.
That's what they need to do. And there was talk about that a few years ago, wasn't there? To get Barry back on board and have him, you know, play in a game.
You know, these jerky Hall of Fame voters, though, they would hold that against him so hard.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah. But I'm completely joking. But just, you know, are there other players like Scherzer who could give you a year or two that are on the margins who won't cost you a whole lot? It sounds like that's what their market is right now, is just finding guys or trading, making trades, which is how they got Devers. Right. And that kind of segues into the last thing we're going to talk about, which is Bryce Eldridge. That is the one piece out there that every team probably wants from the Giants if they were able to make a trade. And would you trade Bryce Eldridge knowing that, you know, the kid, he's still a young dude and he's got the power to hit 30 jacks a year if he blossoms into a good player? Would you dangle him for the prospect of winning a little bit more in 2026 versus waiting for him to blossom?
I would dangle him if I wanted to lose my head. Head of baseball operations, because if you lose Luciano and Eldridge in the same offseason, I don't think that's going to go over very well. I think you need to see what Eldridge can do first, although he's going to lose some trade value if he doesn't have a fantastic 2026. Then if he does have a fantastic 2026, he's not going anywhere. So if you are going to trade him, you've got to trade him with the fog of war, mm-hmm. right? Where you just don't know what he is yet. You only know you can go to other teams and say, look at these AAA numbers. Look at these home runs. Look at this power. That's the only way you're going to get something out of him right now. Because again, if he hits 25 to 30 home runs next year, but hits like 220, I think you still have to hang on to him. I don't think you can get rid of a guy like that.
Okay, what if you could get Jacob Duran to play center field and you move Jung-Hoo to left?
There'd have to be more involved than just Duran, I think. I would think there's got to be Duran and some pitching coming back to us.
Kyle Harrison is like, I'm ready. I'm ready to come back.
No, I read an article where he was not very happy with the Giants and their development.
Hey.
And that's why I brought that up again earlier, Kyle Harrison. That's why I threw his name in there. He took some shots at the development for the Giants and basically saying, look, they didn't really have any ideas for any other pitches. And then I come here to Boston and Pawtucket, and all of a sudden they've got ideas for different pitches for me, and things are starting to really kind of develop. So
good for him, man.
Good. And I took that as a shot at Farhan's regime, and I said, well, there you go. So, you know, this is what happens. And I don't blame Buster. Buster was just trying to do what he had to do, and he wasn't part of the development of Kyle Harrison.
Kyle probably is thankful that Buster traded him.
Yeah, because Kyle Harrison never even threw to Buster. I mean, they weren't even on the same team at any point either. So I can't fault him on that, especially if you're going to get Raffy Devers out of it. If you're going to trade Eldridge, and the article I read today was like, unless I see the name like Tarik Skubal, I think there was one other one.
Skeens.
Other than that, yeah, Skeens and Skubal. If it's not either of those guys, I'm probably saying no.
Not even Skeens. A Hunter Green.
I'd have to look at his contract and see what kind of control he has left. Mm-hmm. But even him, last year was kind of his first good year, so they'd be selling high. I don't know if we'd be technically selling Eldridge high or low at this point, because he's the unknown. You'd be selling prospect label, and that's pretty much it. So, yeah, I wouldn't do it personally. I wouldn't do it.
All right. Well, we went from no show to some show to a full show.
There you go.
And, you know, for us to be able to do almost 45 minutes during the off season when nothing has happened except for hiring of coaches, it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah. And then is it today is the start of the winter meetings?
Is it today?
What is today? I put all this on my calendar this year.
Uh-oh.
Because I did not want to.
Apple calendar or Gmail calendar?
On my iOS calendar.
Okay.
Yes, sir. MLB winter meeting starts today, goes through Wednesday. Or did it start? You know what? It started yesterday, goes through Wednesday. You know what tomorrow is? The MLB draft lottery.
Oh.
So they'll be picking balls and figure out who's picking where. And then on Wednesday, the Rule 5 draft.
The Rockies, they have to get the first pick, right?
You would think. But with the way that's gone the last couple of years, I think the White Sox were supposed to get their first pick one year and they didn't. I think the A's ended up getting it. But so, yeah, it'll be interesting. So the draft lottery position is tomorrow, and then the MLB Rule 5 draft is on Wednesday. And we're expected to make a move there because of the getting rid of Luciano and the timing that they did it. Things I've seen. They've talked about possibly going after a reliever. And remember, Rule 5 draft, you pick somebody, they have to be on your active 26-man roster the entire season that you pick them. But if you decide to, you know, send them back down, they have to go back to the original team.
Right.
So.
One thing I wanted to mention before we get out of here. I mentioned the FP Santangelo Susan Slusser podcast last week, which is really good, and I'm still listening.
I did listen to a couple, and I enjoyed it, so yeah.
FP thought that Greg Johnson making that comment and Andy Baggerly's article about the Giants possibly being out on a paying big-time money for a starter, he thought it could be a little bit of a smokescreen just because maybe you don't want to give away your strategy here. I don't know. Like, I don't think Baggerly would have reported it that way if he didn't truly believe it and source it. So I lean towards Baggerly, but
same.
FP did make that comment, which I thought was pretty interesting. And, you know, we need to find, do you know anyone who knows FP? They would be awesome if we got him on this show.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't know anybody, but maybe Darren Chan can get us in.
Oh,
there.
Darren
Let's
Chan.
Let's find out.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder about that. Anyways, I think it'd be fun just because he's kind of like us, like essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like exactly.
He's kind of fan like we are, but so it'd be fun. But anyways, all right. That is it from here. If there is stuff going on, we'll do something next week. But if not, you know, maybe not. And, you know, we are in December. The winter meetings are happening. We're getting closer to Christmas, which is ridiculous. We're like one day away from Christmas being like 2 weeks or something like that.
I think we're 17 days out right now.
So less than 3 weeks away from Christmas, which is ridiculous. So we'll figure it out, but
too fast.
Like I mentioned, Giants versus Dodgers. We may go live tomorrow evening, late in the evening for the East Coasters. I'm pretty sure we're going live, but just in case, not 100%, but I think so. So sometime maybe like 8:15, 8:30 Pacific or something. But if not, we'll still put a show up on YouTube and obviously in the audio. So just be on the lookout. And I get to listen to Draven crow about his Dodgers team, but he's actually interested in what the Giants are doing because he keeps tabs on us just like we keep tabs on them. So,
you got to watch your rival. I mean, being a Rams fan, I do watch the Niner news. I want to know what they're doing. I watch the Seahawk news. I like to know what they're doing.
So. Your running back situation is frustrating me. Even though I have both running backs on one of my fantasy teams, because I just figured
Them both in. I tell you, put them both in right now, because I just don't think you can tell.
Yeah, it's going to be. I may have to do that because I don't have in this league that I'm thinking of. I don't have a quality number two, so I may have to just put both of them in.
Yeah, but this week we play Detroit. And Detroit has a tough time against the run, so there could be some dual running back stuff in there, I would think.
Alrighty, that is it from here. For Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.